This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. And now for some insight into global markets. This morning we're speaking with Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, last night, big tech companies Apple, Alphabet and Microsoft reported their earnings, which beat street expectations. But let's start with Apple. All product lines saw sales grow by more than 12%. Is this trend sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Big tech just simply goes from strength to strength. And if you look at Apple's numbers in particular, I think we've got to point to the services revenues. When you sell 50% more iPhones than you did in the last year, what you suddenly have, and sure, some of them are upgrades, you have a lot more people on your ecosystem and a lot more people inbuilt into your ecosystem, which means you're going to be able to cross-pollinate into different types of revenue. So, I mean, another stellar quarter from a stellar company. So I really feel like they will continue to sustain these growth, particularly in the services growth. I mean, we might not have an enormous iPhone sales growth again, considering the number that we did see. We did see some thoughts from the company that they were really concerned about chip shortages, which will affect their hardware sales, which again, might creep into the sales sheet in the next couple of earnings. But, you know, this is a company that's very well capitalized. What we also started to see from the last earnings, I think, is the Apple credit card really start to gain some traction. We saw that in the Goldman Sachs report, and now we see that underlying. So that financial services growth, I think, is going to continue to go. They're also entering the buy now, pay later sector, which we saw some announcements from a couple of weeks ago. So, look, this is a company I continue to say is the greatest company on the globe, and I think this earnings report shows you why. You don't trade Apple, you buy it and you hold it. And I continue to maintain that.
On that note, Jack, I want to switch over to China tech for a little bit and see whether you are also of the opinion of the buy the dip mentality here. We saw some massive sell downs on both the Shanghai Composite and the Hang Seng over the last few days. Tech, education, and even ride-hailing stocks have been hit hard over government changes in government policy. Does this view change your view on investing in those markets?
Yeah, thanks for the tough question there, Roshan. I appreciate it. Look, let's just unpack what happened, because this is an unbelievable moment in global market history. I mean, what we saw yesterday and the day before was purely indiscriminate selling. There was nowhere to hide in the markets. There were very few places. And you just got to look at some of the volumes we saw on the Hong Kong market. Take a look at something like NetEase, right? That averages, you know, a little bit over 3 million shares a day. That did 31 million yesterday. Meishuan Jiamping, which we talked about, averages 24 million. That did 165 million. So unprecedented selling. And I think we saw a lot of Western and hedge fund and managed fund selling from the West. Look, I have been wrong about Chinese tech for a little over 12 months, two months right now. You know, I thought we started to see the bottom in Chinese tech once we saw the Alibaba fine, but I obviously have been wrong about this. I truly believe that this is a once-in-a-generational opportunity to pick up some value Chinese stocks in the economy, and this is the particular reason why. The engine room of the world still is China, and its basis or its ingredients for its engine room is still tech. The growth of the Chinese economy will still depend on its technological innovation and upon its tech companies to drive that middle income growth in their country. And I don't think that's going to go away. The Chinese government has come out and clearly said to their tech companies, you haven't learned your lesson, we're going to teach you. And I think Didi was the next in the firing line, and now you've seen this hit on education companies. And they will continue to hit them until they realize who is boss. But I think that is firmly in place. Now, can I call a bottom on Chinese tech or Chinese markets right now? I'd be a fool to do so. But if you look at some of the buyers, what investors have to understand here is that for every seller in this market, there is a buyer. And if we look at the net buyers of Chinese stocks in the last 2 days, in the last couple of weeks, they have been Chinese mainland investors. And that's a combination of Chinese retail clients, Chinese hedge funds, Chinese pension funds. And Financial Times had a great piece on it yesterday saying that most of the buying was through the connect into the mainland. So you are seeing a transfer of wealth right now into some of the greatest companies, I still believe, in the on the face of the globe, from the west to the east. Now, you've got to ask yourself, are the buyers net holders of these stocks? And I believe they are. So we don't know who's next, and that's the issue that the market is worrying about. Who is next? And the education piece was the big one. That's what really spooked everybody else. But I will say this again, that if you have a long-term outlook, and that's the one I'm taking right now, this is a once-in-a-generation buying opportunity for some of these Chinese tech stocks.
Yeah, so the education sector one did blindside many investors. Which other sector might be next under the scrutiny of regulators, for example, healthcare?
Yeah, I think it might be healthcare. And here's why. The Chinese government and the CCP have taken education as a social policy, right? This is a social need that should not be profitable. Well, you look at one of the fabrics of society, then healthcare is one of them. So they may take the view that healthcare fits into the side of education, and they want to regulate that, or at least regulate the profitability from that. So that could be a possibility. I think that's what everybody's looking at. Also, considering China is having a declining population or a struggling population growth, and they want to ensure that they can bring that up, and healthcare is a big one. So I think that is in the crosshairs of investors right now, and that's been a very good performing sector for this economy for quite a long time, and that's why you saw stocks like JD Health and so on get heavily sold off. So that could be next in the crosshairs. But I just think the worst is over for Chinese tech, other than a few headlines that we may see. You know, it's hard to see them continuing to stab at the golden goose as hard as they have in the last couple of months, in the last couple of 6 months.
Jack, with all this in mind, everything we've talked about here, the question still remains as to how we price this kind of policy risk, right, at the end of the day. As an avid watcher of the Chinese market, but you also love US tech as well, how do we balance these concerns there? Because on one side, we've got the trillion-dollar club continuing to make money and still continuing to grow over on the Western front. But as you noted, most of the growth that we're going to see over the next generation will probably come from China and China-related stocks. How do we balance these concerns?
Yeah, and Roshan, don't confuse me. I do have concerns, you know, and I think the biggest concern is my concern right now at these valuations is not necessarily about the continued downside. That I can allay. It's actually about the continued upside, and I'll explain why. If you're really important in China, you control a lot of data. And if you control a lot of data, therefore you are at the privy or in the ear of the CCP, which may cap your growth. You know, some of these great companies that we've seen, like Baba, like Tencent, you know, the key to them is their ability to manipulate and use data to grow their businesses. So this may be a capping on growth. It also might protect them on the downside because you've had the great firewall that the Chinese government has protected from them. So my concern at these levels here is not necessarily a downside. It's actually the upside, which is kind of to your point. And that's the issue. Do Chinese companies now going overseas face increasing specter from regulatory bodies overseas because they're saying, well, we know that your data is controlled or looked at by the Chinese government. And that's the key now. Can you get the upside growth that you factored into these some of these Chinese companies because of the new regulation that is around? My counterpoint to that is that you still have an emerging domestic economy that is still growing at a breakneck pace, and an emerging middle class, which might counter that growth. And I just believe that we will return to some type of normal over the next 12 to 18 months when the dust settles. But that is a very valid point. When you look at upside growth and the lack of regulation in the US economy, then you have to factor in into your valuations.
Jack, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, giving us some insight into those Chinese markets. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.